Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out in Grace Ranch in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding, abiding in the vine. I'm abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace, Jesus made them mine. I've got prosperity, power, and victory. Abiding, abiding in the vine. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding, abiding in the vine. I'm abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace, Jesus made them mine. I've got prosperity, power, and victory. Abiding, abiding in the vine.
Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, we just come before you today, and we thank you that we have this opportunity, that you've granted us this time, Lord, that we can come together and hear the message that you have for us today. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us the understanding, and we ask, Lord, for the wisdom to take in these words, so that we may hear them, so that we may make a informed choice and choose to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Stand up and shout it if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Stand up and shout it if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. Sit down and whisper if you love my Jesus. Sit down and whisper if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Stand up and shout it if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. If you love my Jesus, sit down and whisper if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Stand up and shout it if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. Know if you love my Lord. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Blessed beyond the curse, and his promise will endure, for his joy's gonna be my strength. Though the darkness may last for a night, his joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Give the Lord a cheer. There we go. Praise God. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Had a few things that have just popped up this week that I think this puts some relevance to, for me anyhow, hopefully for some others out there too. 6:1, we then, as workers together with him, 2 Corinthians, I apologize. Just a couple pages over. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I scoured thee. Sucker? Okay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in turmoil, tumults. I'll get it in a second. In labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed. That's a lot. For us to stand and for us to do the assignment that Jesus has given us, we go through many things, and yet we are to have patience. We are to have the long suffering. And no matter what comes against us, in whatever form it might be, we must stand fast in the faith that is Jesus Christ, to walk His walk, to do as He has given us to do. There were times this week when I did not want to do. There was one instance this week where I just got totally PO'd, enraged, and there was no reason for it. And I recognized it as an attack. Probably a lot quicker than I ever have in my entire life. And I turned to Jesus immediately. And I rebuked it. And it was gone. It was gone. It left. And I had peace. Things are going to happen. If you're standing in Jesus Christ, you can turn to Him when these things happen. No matter what it is, no matter what comes against you, whether it be a sickness, whether it be another person, whether it be something that came in the mail, whether it be something that happens when you're in town, it doesn't matter, because we have an advocate. We have Jesus Christ, that we can stand on, that we can trust, that we can believe, that is there for us always, if we are willing to turn to Him. Amen.
Give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks, because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks, because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Good morning. Let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. This is the Christian walk. The overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, we come to the Father in repentance, understanding that Jesus Christ has paid the price, and the Father baptizes us into the blood of the Son. At that point, we are Christians. We're saved. And this is followed by years, days, whatever, a life that are maybe better and maybe worse. And that's really where I want to dwell. I want to really stay in the middle section by the word of their testimony. And to do that, I want to flip over to Psalm number 51. Psalm number 51. I love the writings of the Psalms. I love King David. I can always find something in David's experience that matches my experience. And Psalm 51 in particular is important, even precious to me. When I was laid up after I had some severe health issues, Paul Muller came and told me that had I died, I would have gone straight to hell, which I did not know. And then he turned around and went to leave, and I said, "Wait a second. Let's look into this a little," because he was like a cat on a hot tin roof. So we talked for a bit, and then he did leave, and at some point, shortly thereafter, Steve called me, and this psalm is where he took me. And I want to take just a moment to read through it. Now, I only have one hand, and I don't have a mic stand, so you're going to get little gaps in this because I got to grab the mic with what I got left. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and have done this evil in thy sight. Thank you. And have done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So we come to Christ in repentance, and he'll receive us. And we are washed in that blood, and we are his. But that middle section in that verse, the word of their testimony, that's what we have, the word of our testimony. And our testimony needs to be a testimony of service, but we don't get it right. And David here, he didn't get it right, but look at how he approaches God in his current state. Have mercy upon me, O God, verse 1, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. It's not just that the Lord's merciful, he has a multitude of tender mercies. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And what you don't see in this is even a hint of an attempt of King David to justify what he had done. Likewise, we go back to a just and holy God, knowing that we've sinned, and this happens through the day. There may be those that don't sin through the day, but I sure do. Over and over and over, we can keep going back to the Lord, and over and over and over in the multitude of his mercies. And not only mercies, but tender mercies. See, he's love. He's not there to beat us down. He's there to pick us up. And we're here to love him and to serve him. This word of our testimony, this is what the world around us is seeking. This is it. Because it's in a man to know that there's something wrong, but we can't necessarily put our finger on what the wrong is or necessarily what the solution is. But we, as Christ's body on this earth, we speak through his Spirit as the oracles of God, and we offer the solution that all mankind seeks, and that is the baptism of the blood. That's the new birth. And in that, that becomes the word of our testimony. Now, I'm going to pull this up on my phone again. I'm going back to Revelation 12:11 just so I don't mess it up. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So we have this word of our testimony because we've been washed in the blood. If we've sought it, he'll baptize us in his Spirit. We become the body of Christ on this earth, bringing that message of hope to the people around us. And in that becomes the word of our testimony. But look at the last part. And they love not their lives unto the death. They love not their lives unto the death. We could look at somebody like Stephen, who was stoned, or the many, many testimonies of the church where people have literally been put to death for what they have stood for. That's easy to see. But loving not our lives unto the death, for the most part, for us in our normal day-to-day, is not loving ourselves to the point where we back off of the truth. Right? We're supposed to polarize. We bring the ministry of reconciliation, but you've got to know you need reconciliation. To do that, you have to know that there's something wrong. And if we're the ones standing there before somebody and they get off into something that's incorrect, they don't want to hear it, it falls on us to stand for the truth, right? And that can be received in several different ways, some of which can be just downright rough. That, loving not our lives unto the death, if we have committed to Christ, then whose life do we live? It's, right, when Christ, who is our life, Jesus Christ is our life. This life is fleeting, what we see in the flesh. If Christ is our life, we're speaking the word of God, then how people receive it doesn't fall on us, and the reaction is not our fault, our problem. It becomes our problem if we're afraid of it, and I've got, you know, my fingers pointed back at myself. But if we stand before people and we shrink back, who are we loving? Who are we loving in that moment? Loving ourselves. That is not what we're called to do. That's sin. They're going to be fixed, but it's still sin. So we overcome by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and we love not our lives unto the death. And that is the challenge I want to set before our fellowship today, to love not our lives unto to the death, to be willing to speak the truth, to live the truth, and let the chips fall. Amen. That's what I have this morning.
Spirit within me, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right Spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise you, Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Let's turn back to Revelation 12:11 for a moment. And one thing, if you read the entire chapter there, especially the first 10 verses, you will see that it deals with an event that occurs during the tribulation where the devil is cast out of heaven. And I want to read verse 10 for a moment. Actually, let's start from verse 9, and that way you can see what I'm talking about. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For," and I wanted you to hear this, "the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." I wanted you to hear that part because it then puts in context the next verse. All right, because what they're overcoming is that devil that's deceived the whole world and stands before the throne of God, accusing the saints night and day. I know you've heard Davey talk at times about when you hear those accusations against you, the silver lining in it, if you can see it, is it means that you too are in the throne room of God. The problem is, of course, we're guilty of these things so often. We're guilty. We're guilty. David in Psalm 51 was guilty. And David recognized there was nothing he could offer God that could remove that. There was nothing he could say or do that could remove that. And so David's entire hope had nothing to do with him. His entire hope had to do with God and God's grace, God's tender mercies. See, that is the nature of God. We talk about how God is good. God is good. And one of the most important attributes of his goodness is his tender mercies, that he would not even spare his own son in reconciling us unto himself. That's an extraordinary thing. And he wants that to be effectual in each and every one of you. Doesn't want that grace of God to be in vain that Bob was reading over there in 2 Corinthians. But it's only not in vain when you believe it. When you believe it. And that's where we then can bring the blood of the Lamb. When we believe it. Then when you turn to the word of their testimony, and Brad, I want to just correct you on this. The word of your testimony has nothing to do with you. The word of your testimony has to do with God. The entire word of our testimony is about God, not about us. Sometimes that word of our testimony is of his forgiveness towards us. Sometimes it's of his deliverance of us from some situation. Sometimes it's the fact that he lets us, in his grace and mercy, be a partaker of his divine nature in ministering unto others. And that is an extraordinary privilege in which you recognize that it has absolutely nothing to do with you. Absolutely nothing. You can't claim credit for any aspect of it all. And you think you can, and look, our carnal mind, our pride, wants to take credit, wants to steal that glory, just like Lucifer did. Lucifer owed everything to God. But what did the people saw him, they didn't see God. So what did Lucifer want? He stole. He wanted that glory unto himself. That is our nature. That's the nature of every single person who's born into the world. What David was saying over there in Psalm 51, he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. He's talking about that there was never, there's never a time. Okay, he was made sin. He was born sin. He didn't have to learn to be a sinner. He was a sinner. And when you realize that, you know what happens? That third part he talks about, all of a sudden, you're ready to do. Are you ready to give up your life of sin? See, and you want to know how you know whether a person wants to give up their life of sin? When they stop justifying themselves. See, because every time you're justifying yourself, what you're doing is you're trying to hold on to that life of sin. Now, what happens with most Christians is that until we know Christ, when we come to know Christ, we recognize certain attributes of sin about ourselves. Maybe we were a whoremonger. Maybe we were a drug addict. Maybe we were a drunkard. Maybe we were a criminal. Maybe we were, you know, whatever. We recognize those. You know why we recognize those? Because the world recognizes them as well. But the depth of our sin nature, we generally have no idea about at all. No idea about at all. We're willing to lay down those aspects of those things which got us into all sorts of trouble. Maybe child support, maybe thrown in jail, maybe all of these different things. Lost a job, don't have any money, what have you. Those parts we're willing to give up. But the very idea that we are sin incarnate, pure, 100% unadulterated, no good thing, that people have a real hard time with. And since the whole world's deceived out here and the whole world's out going after this and going after that and going after the other thing, to not run with them, everybody thinks there's something wrong with you. Everybody thinks there's something wrong with you. What's wrong with you? Why don't you? And you have this sense that you're missing. And so you think you need to go as well and go get those things. I mean, after all, we're saved by grace, right? And you don't even realize the subtle way in which you turn from following the Lord and laying down your life to trying to have your cake and eat it too. And what happens is you start hearing and seeing the justification build and grow until it takes over your life. And now you can't see anything. And the worst part is you continue to go to church. You just end up being one of those people who he said, many shall come unto me in that day saying, Lord, Lord. In other words, the word many there, and this is out of Matthew 7, the word many there is the majority of people who call Jesus Lord are going to come unto him in that day, and they're going to be testifying of their works, not his testimony, their testimony of their works. And they're going to stand there before him and then utter horror, just utter unbelievable horror is going to grip them. As he says, get away from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And that worker of iniquity is that worker of pride, and that's the one that's the hardest one for people to get past. But I can just tell you, that loving not your life unto the death, I mean, sure, Stephen is a good example of that. Don't hear me wrong. He's saying to him, lay not this sin to their charge as they are stoning him and killing him, because they know not what they do. All right? He is an example of that perfect fruit coming forth at the end. Praise God. But the fact of the matter is, that idea of laying down, that's the life he wants you to lay down. That life that is tied to your flesh, you lay it down, you reckon yourself dead unto it, and you choose instead to follow the Lord. And that grace that covers us, and you look at David as he realized, you read David's Psalms, you read Psalm 61, you read Psalm, I mean, I'm reading the Psalms with my children right now. All of the Psalms, everything David's doing is he's putting his trust in what God can do. Never, you don't ever hear David put his trust in himself or in man. Never. If you put your trust in yourself, you are a worker of iniquity. That's what you are. What's the mantra you hear out there in the world? Trust in yourself. If you look at the greats in the world, the Michael Jordans, for example, the Roger Federers, take an artist. You know, I remember Madonna used to say this kind of thing, that she's kind of old hat now. But you look at the people, and their thing always, their advice to young people is always, you have to trust yourself. David says, ox dung. because David spoke, well, he didn't speak Elizabethan, but the guys who translated it spoke Elizabethan. So they said, ox dung. That is ox dung. You cannot trust yourself. I want to look from that perspective. Let's turn to Psalm 61 for a moment. I want you to look at a thing here. I've got two hands, and it's still taking me forever to get there. Oh, wait a second, that isn't Psalm 61. I take that back. What's that? 51. No, he was in 51. Bummer, I'll have to find it. But basically what David says is he basically says to the Lord, look, I will come into thy holy sanctuary. It's not Psalm 61, so I apologize. I don't know where it is. Maybe somebody can find it for me there. But forgive me for that. But he says, I will come into thy holy sanctuary. Oh, that's what it is. Psalm 5:7. That is what it is. Thank you, love. I knew it was something Brad had preached on recently because I've been going over his messages with him. I forgot he went to 5:7. He says, but as for me, I will come into the house, thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. But as for me, this is David, I will come into thy house. What is his qualification for coming into the house of the Lord? His qualification is he's coming in the multitude of thy mercy. Now, when we think of a multitude, we're usually thinking of it in the sense of people, right? So we come out, like I've been, you go to July 4th on the Mall in Washington, D.C. You've got a multitude of people, like just millions of people spread out across there. All right. Now, think of those millions of people as just being millions of sins that you have done, and that you are aware of, and that there's no hiding from any of it. Now, let's watch this for a moment. How many times when you're going through a bad time do you not want to come in to the house of the Lord? How many times do you not want to come around people? Why? You're embarrassed. You don't want to be told you're wrong. You know everybody knows it. You don't want to show your face. David says, I will. This was an act of his will. He was going to go there, period. Didn't matter if people at the door thought, hey, man, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I know what you've done. Didn't matter. Did not matter. David was going in the multitude of God's mercy. See, when you know that, when you know the multitude of God's mercy, now you can minister as David ministers in Psalm 51. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. When you recognize the multitude of your sin and just how it infects every aspect of your life from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, that it's there conspiring and deceiving and turning you out of the way continuously, and you recognize this and you see it, now hating your life, loving not your life unto the death, becomes a pretty pleasant alternative. Because something that you actually are joyful to do. Glad. Thankful. But see, most people don't go to the house of the Lord from that perspective. Most people, I mean, and when we sing the songs, most people don't sing the songs from the perspective. I'm like listening to the Yes, Lord song today. And I'm thinking, That is a song right there that is one, if you sing it to the Lord, believing His word, you can walk out after that song healed, delivered, set free. And yet I watch people come in and sing that song over and over again, sometimes for a decade or more, and get nothing. Get nothing. At the same time, though, what do you have? As far as recognizing just how deep your own depravity is and how you can do no good thing, shoot, I hear people justifying all sorts of stuff. I tell you what, justifying yourself doesn't get it done, folks. The scripture says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You've got to prefer and want to know the truth above everything. And the truth of the matter is, the truth is usually going to testify against you, which is why people don't want to hear the truth or know the truth, because they don't want to be shown for what they are. But you look over here, he says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. And I love this next verse. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. You know why he's saying, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness? Because he knows he has the big goose egg when it comes to his righteousness. Not any at all. He has no righteousness at all to offer ever. Zero. Zilcho. Nada. So he's asking the Lord to lead him in the Lord's righteousness because of David's enemies. And he goes on, make thy way, that's the Lord's way, straight before my face. David knows there's no chance for him to make it. But God lead him according to God's righteousness, and that God make God's way straight before him. Because if it requires anything on David's part, David is going to fail. He knows that about himself. He knows it absolutely. He has no chance. The question is, do you know that about yourself? See, when you know it about yourself, your prayer life changes radically. Your prayer life becomes like David's prayer life. And what's the scripture say? You go into your closet and you talk to God privately. What's he say? He will reward you openly. Did he not reward David openly? I mean, and David had to stand in some things. I've never even come close to ever having to stand in. I'm not going to compare myself to him in any way. He had to stand in some extraordinary things. There are things that a part of me, probably the, you know, kind of guy who likes the idea of riding it on a white horse or whatever, there are probably some elements of David's testimony that I would like to stand in for pride's sake, not for any other thing. I don't think I'd like to have to go through what David went through. But the idea of nanny, nanny, nanad coming in and winning and killing Goliath and doing all the other stuff and still being king and all the things that went on, I think some of that would be cool. But he didn't know the end of any of that as he was passing through it. His prayers reflect that. He wasn't so presumptuous as to think that God just had to do all this stuff for him. That's why he was operating in the fear of the Lord. He knew God didn't have to do any of these things for him. He was hoping to God that he would do these things for him because of God's nature, not his. And God answered him mightily. and he will answer you mightily. If you'll just get down to that place, like David did, and what Revelation 12:11 is really all about, where it's all about Jesus, not you. We get the extraordinary privilege of partaking of what he is doing if we will choose him.
Just a couple words on our subject today. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I can remember a time when I could, this sounds terrible, proudly say that I loved not my life unto the death. And if somebody asked me why I loved not my life, well, it's because it was simple. I was so smart nobody knew it. I had great ideas. I had ideas of taking an old railroad station down in Orlando, Florida, and an old motel and turning it into something great. Somebody else did it. I had all kinds of great ideas. And I could sit down and I could think this out and think that out and work this out and work that out. And nothing ever came to pass the way I thought it would. And I hated my life because of that. I would see others succeed where I couldn't. I became a minister. And I had my dreams. Big churches. Millions of people coming to hear me speak. Sitting in a church, 10,000 people. All giving homage to the great Richard D. Utzler, Sr. I got the opposite. And I hated my life. And then I realized one day it was of the grace of God. Because to love your life is to love what you can do. It's to love your abilities. It's to love the things that you can figure out and form. And people spend lifetimes, justifying their ideas using their ability to prove themselves right so they can walk away justified. And we have people in this ministry that do that. That's loving your life. And one day I realized, as Brother Steve was saying, there wasn't anything good in me. There wasn't anything good in me. I was a sinner from day one. I was a sinner from day of conception. Nothing I could do about it. But I can love the life that's coming. I can love that life because that life will be 100% of God. 100% of God. The old man, the firstborn, born in sin, just like Cain, born in sin. The second born is not born in sin and will live without sin. And that's the life I will rejoice in.
To the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found in one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Pass the outer courts into the holy place. Past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found in one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am.
Take the cold,
cleanse my lips, here I am.
Our God, and all will see.
How
of all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. Name above all names,
you are
worthy of all. Sing how great is our God. How great is our God.
Sing with me.
How great is our God.
And all will sing.
How great. How great is our God.
Praise God.
Give the Lord a cheer. Praise you, Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you, we ask that you forgive us, Lord, for how we have not lived in accordance with that overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and loving not our lives unto the death. And we just pray, Lord, as we go forward this day, that you help each of us to get reoriented aright in you, that we may indeed overcome and be that light unto the world that you have called us to be. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, all most high. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, all most high. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into it, they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, they are saved. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord, all most high. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord, all most high. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, a righteous running. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, they are saved. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord, all most high. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord, all most high. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into
Run into it, they are saved.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.